As you guys know, Pastor Trevor is serving at Refuge Church in San Antonio. So this morning, I have the honor and the privilege to share with you the Word of God. If you haven't met me before, my name is Anthony. I serve in a few ministries here. The first one, I serve in the men's leadership team. It's an honor and privilege to do that. I also serve in the connection team and the prayer team. How many of us believe that prayer is very, very important in this day and time? Amen. That's where we commune with God on a different level. That's a one-on-one connection with our holy and wonderful and loving God. My family and I, we call this place home. And it's beautiful. And I just want to thank you, Radical Church, for loving on us in the way that you do. It is special. Yolanda and I, we pastored a church for the last 6.5 years at one time. Glad Tidings Church in Maynard, Texas. Assemblies of God. So that's kind of a sneak peek on the type of preaching I'll do today. Amen. Hallelujah. The picture of my family up here, just want to share that. They are a bunch of amazing people, and I know that I'm biased, but you would do the same as well. My wife and I, we're going to be 23 years marriage in September. Come on, somebody. High school sweethearts. It wasn't easy, but God is good, amen? From oldest to youngest, Anthony, not Junior, Melody, Dee Dee, and baby Chris. And so I just want to open up in prayer, pray over Pastor, and pray over this message. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that what you're doing through Pastor Trevor. Lord, I pray, Lord, that he would bring that needed word there, that sweet word. God, bring that revival there as well. What you're doing in him, God, I know that you will do throughout each and every one of us. For your love and your power and your anointing, it's contagious. And we need it. We need men and women of God that will stand for truth. And they will stand for the broken and for those that can't stand for themselves. God, rise us up. God, I pray over this church and the hunger for this church and that special diet for this church, that they would want more of your glory, more of your power, more of your presence, oh Lord, that we, Lord, know that we are on the winning side. Our God is undefeated. He cannot be impeached. God, move in your way in this house. Use me as your vessel. I will be broken, but you will build me back up to the overflow. In mighty name, Jesus, we say this. And we all say, amen. We are in part 24 of the sermon series called Supernatural. If you would open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 8. I just want to grab this for the context of the heart of how I'm preaching and where I'm preaching from. When Paul went to the synagogue and he preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn and rejected the message, publicly speaking against the way. And they identified the church of the way when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Paul left that synagogue, and he took his believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years so that the people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. And there's something that happens when you hear the word of the Lord. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs and aprons had merely touched his skin, they were placed on sick people and they healed diseases and evil spirits were expelled. The title of this message is Don't Reject His Power. It's for us. It's for the taking. It's for the kingdom. Amen? So Paul is preaching the power of God through the gospel in the city of Ephesus. He is explaining the role of Jesus and why he's so important and why he's important today for us. And he's telling them this is what it is to be in the kingdom of God. When you accept Jesus Christ, he brings you into this new life. And I want us to take a side note real quick that the first temple that they went to was a compromised temple. It used to have an altar for the Almighty God, but they compromised. But every other temple out there in Ephesus was not built for the one true God. It was built for gods like Zeus, little g gods. Come on, somebody. I don't even know the rest of their names. It doesn't even matter, right? But this is what's happening. This is the place. Christianity touched base in Ephesus. And God's kingdom takes it by force because he loves people who are going the wrong way. He wants to intervene in some way, somehow. And at the precipice of Ephesus, the kingdom of God has landed. And Paul is now there declaring the power of God. He knows that the temple there are dead temples. People go in there the same way they leave, if not worse. There was no forgiveness power. There was no second chances. There were no hope for eternity in heaven with the Father that you so love and adore. He knows that it's a dead place. So he brings the power of God. Come on, somebody. And these places were full of idols and full of statues. And it's appalling. And he's bringing the word. He says, this Jesus in the kingdom of God was born of a virgin without sin. He's talking on their level because the Greeks, they want this perfect life. And Luke wrote it about it in the gospel. He was picturing Jesus in this perfect way without sin. Happens to be the same author of Acts. And he's moving them with these words. He's on their level. And he's teaching them. He is an all-powerful God, all-knowing God. He walks in perfection in every single way. He's captured their attention. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which I preach, is still here in full effect. And you can have it too. He's talking to them. And it's quickening their spirit. He has their attention. And yet, they reject the truth. Not because it was too good to be true, but because there was a stronghold over them. Some of us only know what we know. But when the truth of God and the love of God breaks into that barrier of our life, our eyes are open to something that's greater. And it now makes you selfless. It now makes you put yourself last instead of first. There's something beautiful about that. The humility in a person you know has a kiss from God. Amen. And this is what's happening. The meaning of strongholds, first of all, is neutral. It's not a bad thing. Some of us have been in the Lord for a long time, and God's power and his anointing has a stronghold on you. Praise God. But there's also, it's a neutral thing when you allow the enemy into your life, and now you also have a stronghold. The stronghold is an habitual pattern of thoughts built into one's life of understanding. And Satan knows this full well, church. He knows this. And so in order for him to corrupt your heart so that you live away from God in the shame and guilt, he nests in your mind. Because it's with your mind that you serve the Lord. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is in this house. The temple of Ephesus had their own worship system. They had their own life. They had their own deities, and they were many. And God was not okay with that, so he came and made a ruckus. Come on, somebody. And the scripture says they went to the lecture hall, and they went to the local and private schoolhouse, and they kind of rented out that facility there so that Paul can go and preach. He might have had to pay. He might have had to do something, but they gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel in that place. And it was more like what we know today, like TED Talk, if we can. We open up TED Talk and we want to know how do I become the best version of a man today, alpha male, whatever the case. How do I get my first Bugatti at 21? All these TED Talk things that how to get you to the place where you want to be. And so here comes Paul, and he brings a different message altogether. He's talking about eternity today, not when you die, not when you serve Zeus, not when you pray to a sun god. He's talking about a topic they never heard of before. And it moves them deeply. Paul's on this platform and he's unashamed. And I want you to understand this, church, that he's chopping it up with Greeks and Jews and Romans, intellectuals, philosophers, all alike. And he's making way with them. And I believe that in this schoolhouse, this is probably where Chi Alpha ministry seed was planted. Come on. Because God is also after young adults. He's also after the minds so that we are able to be discipled in such a way. Praise the Lord. And Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation for anyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Greeks." God unleashed unusual gifts to Paul to perform. And for us to better illustrate that, as we were reading, is that we got Pastor Trevor's shirt that he wore last week, because that message was fire. And we cut it up in little pieces and we're going to hand them out. I'm just kidding. But this is exactly what they did. They took pieces of the material that Paul touched, and they took them out to the sick people, and they took them out to the demonically oppressed people, and they were delivered in Jesus' name. The diseases were canceled. Demons are homeless. And that's the power that we're talking about today. Don't deny the power of God for you. So imagine for a minute, real glory power in your hands, and you could take it to everyone and anyone that you want, and they would be delivered. Some of us have family members that are sick, still sick. Some family members that have passed away that were sick. God is still their healer, amen? Yes. He is still their healer. And his power still runs in our veins. And this is exactly what happened as they were grabbing this power transfer. And they used it in the wrong way. In verse 13 it says, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord in their incantations, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." The seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time they had tried this, an evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but you I don't know." Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such a violence that they fled the house naked and battered. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a bad day indeed when a demon sasses you and puts you in your place. We can say what we want to say, but in the spiritual, in the supernatural, it's laid out flat as is. Either you are walking with the Lord or you have compromised. And these knuckleheads didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus, and yet they're invoking his name as if it's a magical wand. And I want you to capture this today, that God is not in the business of renting out his glory for your entertainment and for your clout and for your position to be moved up. God is not into that at all. Do you know what's worse when a demon sasses you? One that beats you up, puts you in a full Nelson, and kicks you to the curb. And I want us to know, fellas, think about this for a minute, fellas. Think about this. You just got beat up. You get home to your wife, and she says, "Why are you beat up and naked?" And your response is, "Well, I got beat up today." "Baby, who beat you up? This is terrible." "Well, babe, I didn't catch the name. I don't know if it's Freddy Krueger, Chucky. I don't know what the name of that demon was, but it put me in my place, and I need a Band-Aid and a Tylenol." Come on, somebody. But it's embarrassing. The seven sons of Sceva, I'm sure, wanted to put that on the down low. But for some reason, it spread like COVID in 2020. Wow. Verse 17, the story of what happened spread quickly throughout Ephesus. To the Jews and the Greeks alike, a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burnt them into a public bonfire. A value of these books were several million dollars. Amen? That is beautiful. But the message of the Lord widely spread, powerful effect. And another translation says that it grew in power. These people grew in power because of some rejection in their life. They took something out of their life. They cut something off. They said, "Satan, I'm breaking up with you. I don't want anything to do with you anymore." And great power grew within them when they confessed that sin. And what brought them to the point, church, if you're taking notes, is a healthy fear of God. It's healthy. There is a fear of God that many people think, well, I'm only going to serve God to not go to hell. That's not the fear that God is intending for his people. God wants a healthy fear in you to know that there are places you shouldn't be and things you shouldn't do, because it will corrupt you over time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will get you there. Can I preach? Amen? Amen. Right? A type of fear that will allow you to love your enemies sincerely. A type of fear that will allow you to forgive an awful act done to you. Yes, you were innocent. Yes, you were young. But the kingdom of God will give you power to forgive, so that you're no longer in prison. You're no longer in that cell. And you are free to do and to live abundantly in Jesus Christ. A type of fear that will allow you to see life as a gift, a precious gift, not as an option to continue to live. A solemn fear of God is good. And it fell on them. It wasn't condemnation, it was conviction. The sweet kiss of conviction. Condemnation is associated with guilt and punishment. That's why when we're not seeking the Lord and we've done something bad, we feel like we don't belong in the church. That is a lie from hell itself. Every one of us, whether we are in a good season or bad season, need the church and the power of it and the grace of God that follows. Hallelujah. Conviction is the awareness of sin. It's the association with grace. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you something. If you step out of the wayward in your walk with God and you feel conviction, God is still with you and he is still for you and he's drawing you back to him. So convict me, Lord, when I'm outside of your will. Convict me, Lord, when I'm doing my own thing and building my own kingdom. God, give me my conviction that I may see your face. Anyone who walks in condemnation as an unbeliever will never uphold the name of Jesus with high honor. They will never do that. Matter of fact, they'll use his name in vain. And their actions may be just like verse 23. And about that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. The church is doing something in that place, amen? Because when the light comes into darkness, it exposes it for what it is. Counterfeit, powerless, a dead end, broken promises. But the silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together along with the workers who were in the related trade. And he says, you know, my friends, we receive a lot of money. Your yacht, your house, your kids all in private school. He's going to mess this up for us. And you see how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray a large number of people here in Ephesus. And practically won the whole province of Asia. Give glory to God, amen. And he says that gods that made with human hands are no longer gods. And I want you to understand this. He's right about a lot of it, amen. He really is. The gods that they make with hands aren't really gods. But Romans and the Greeks, they associated Artemis as Diana. And so these guys are like, they build this little bitty idol. And they're like, hey, that looks like Diana. Hey. Can you afford it? It'll be whatever you want it to be. This is what's happening. And so he goes and he makes this meeting. And this boils this community. This community is so angry that light is spreading on darkness. And they begun shouting, great is Artemis of Ephesians. Some translations say, great is Diana of Ephesians. And so the whole city was filled with confusion. And I'm telling you today, the enemy is the author of confusion. Everyone rushed into the amphitheater. You know, they were dragging Augustus and Aristarchus. Hey, I got it this time. I should have said Brother A in the first meeting. But who was Paul's traveling companions of Macedonia? But inside, people were all shouting one thing, some another. That's division. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. Some of us find ourselves in trouble and we don't even know why we are there. And I want you to capture this. The Jews in the crowd, they dragged Alexander forward. Pushed him forward and told him to explain the situation. Because I'm telling you, it wasn't that it was too good to be true. It was because they were deceived. There was something blocking them from receiving this. And war erupted in the supernatural. He motioned, silence. Okay, if y'all want me to give an excuse, you want me to give an example, I need everybody to be quiet. And they saw that he was a Jew, so they started to, again, keeping it up for 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of Ephesians. For 2 hours, poor Paul. Poor Alexander. And I want us to capture this, is that cancel culture isn't anything under the sun. It's not anything new under the sun. The moment that you come with the gospel, someone is going to try to muffle you and stop it. And we need to be like Paul and says, oh, no. Matter of fact, I took that scripture out, but when this was happening, because it's a lot of the what's happening in that temple, he wanted to go in and they said, no, don't go in because they'll kill you. You already got Christians in there speaking on your behalf, but we need you out here. And we need to be stirred in such a way that we're willing to, you know what? Jesus is my Savior and I'm not ashamed of it in any way. Amen. And so the cancel culture tries to drown out the truth is what I'm trying to say. And it brings me to my first point, to drown out the truth. Compromise power won't work for you. Can someone say amen? Amen. A group of Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. And they tried to use the name of the Lord, Jesus, in their incantations. Saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. Not that I preach, but Paul preaches. The priest and his sons were doing this. This is what they were doing, church. They were doing Jesus plus magic spells. Ephesus was saturated with witchcraft on another level. And God says, oh, no, that's not, I love you so much, I'm going to bring the kingdom of God and my power there to set y'all free. Compromise power won't work for us. They were doing Jesus plus burning sage. They were doing Jesus plus, you fill in the blank, Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. They compromised. They were doing Jesus plus superstition. How many of you were growing up? I hope not today, but growing up, maybe even still today, maybe this message is a needed word for somebody in this season today. That when you mentioned that you were sick, maybe you mentioned you didn't feel good, mama or grandma grabbed the coldest egg in the refrigerator, had icicles and everything, brought it to you, rubbed your whole body. They didn't even care. It's mom and grandma. They've already seen it. Your whole body until that egg was lukewarm. Then they cracked that egg and they proclaimed that you were sick because someone had ojo on your body. They gave you an evil eye. And we're kind of like, oh, for real, let me see. Don't get mad at me. Some people grab the broom and you're going to a job interview and they'll swipe your feet for good luck. And I'm here to declare to the church that we don't need good luck. We need a good God, amen? We need a good shepherd. We need a good Savior. We need a good king in our house and our life. There is absolutely no power in superstition whatsoever. Church, it's just a black cat. Keep walking. It's just a pole. When you and your homies and your homegirls are walking or whatever the case may be, don't split up. Take that pole down. But there's no power in superstition. But there is power in that Holy Ghost breaking. Come on, somebody. In Jesus' name. This is why they had so much positive things happen when the kingdom, like so many people are just throwing things away. Millions of dollars of things. Some of us won't even delete an app. And they're throwing millions of dollars of things away that were hindering them. It was that conviction of the Lord that set, and it set good. True power, church, is Jesus plus nothing. Let's go back to the beginning, right? Because sometimes we were raised in a way, mom and daddy, grandma, grandpa, they, hey, add this, do this. It's worked for me. That's their story. God has saved you. God has loved you. He has purchased you with the blood of, oh my good God, thank you, Lord. That God, that no darkness, no power will penetrate me, God, because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Jesus plus nothing is true power. Brothers and sisters, allow yourself to really belong to the Lord wholly, fully to God. No reservation. No, I usually do this. This is just my thing so that I'm able to be confident, walk confident in the Lord. He has set you on firm foundation. Because I want you to know this today. God shares no glory with angels. God shares no glory with saints. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need anything else to help him bless you and your family, to heal you and your family, to save you and your family. God is God all by himself. Can someone give him praise? Amen. And so Paul is putting on notice these idols with hands but can't touch and feet that can't walk and, come on, they can't even dance. Eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear. And he's sizing up the goddess Diana. And Paul is putting them on notice, this powerless stuff. This is nonsense. Let me show you true power. And he's talking to them and he's tilling their hearts for those 2 years. Do not mix what is holy with nonsense. Come on, somebody. It's holy for a reason, separated for a reason, which brings me to my next point. The fear of God is a boundary for the land of the living. Look around. This is the land of the living. Look around. I give you permission. It's not rude. Look around. The land of the living. You don't know what God did for that person on the other side of that pew. God saved them from a suicide attempt. God saved them from a drug overdose. God saved their marriage. God saved them from just doing something they would regret, because there's consequences in the things that we do. But the goodness of God covers that, and it gives us a motivation and a power that is not of this world. It's supernatural. And that power will get you from glory to glory and faith to faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the boundary for the land of the living. John Brevere's assistant got a call from Jim Baker. And he says that, I want to meet with you about your recent book, John. Jim Baker, who was a once renowned televangelist with the largest ministry in the world. He was gifted with the charismatic personality, but unfortunately, he fell from grace. He was convicted of mail fraud, and he was sentenced to 45 years to prison. And they reduced it to 5. But on his 4th year, he gave this dude a call. And John met him in the penitentiary, and he walks out with this orange jumpsuit and this chain. And he shakes his hand, and he's like, hey, I want to let you know, this judgment on me was not a punishment from God. This was mercy upon me, because God is a merciful God. And the boundaries is what sets us in place. If had I been living this way this whole time, I would have ended up in hell for all eternity. So I'm grateful to God. This is Jim saying this in prison. Amen. 20 minutes into it, it's important. John turns to him and says, so when did you fall out of love with God? We've seen like airplanes and houses, like man, like God really just blessed you. So when did you fall out of love? He says, bro, I ain't never fall out of love. I'm still in love with God. Orange jumpsuit and everything. He says, I just didn't fear him. Boundaries are for the land of the living. A solemn fear descended in the city, and the name of the Lord was greatly honored. Many became believers, confessed their sinful practice. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery had their incantations but burnt in a public bonfire, values of several million dollars. I want you to know that they were calculated, it was about $15 million of stuff burnt. Glory to God, because that stuff didn't bring no life and no power. This was so good to that community for them to do that. Because when we say one thing, it is an actual word. And we got to give credit where credit's due, right? You got to give someone the benefit of the doubt. I love Jesus. Now it's time to perform it. So they burnt it. And this is so good because now they were no longer hindered by those chains and those shackles. Because that moment in that time, they broke up with this dirty Diana that had been hindering them for far too long. Come on. Far too long. This might be a word for somebody today. You love the Lord, hands down. But you do not have a healthy fear of Him. And it's a good fear. It's a prospering fear. It's a fear that allows you to live abundantly here and now. And your descendants get to walk in those blessings. Amen. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. Boundaries are for the land of the living. People who entertain themselves with adult content in secret lack the fear of God. Married people who flirt with other people at work or at the gym lack the fear of God. People who cheat in their companies and in ministry lack the fear of God. We need the fear of God because I'm telling you today, don't think God does not know what's in your DMs because He does. And we can lock it, we could put a password, but God wants to set us free from those things so that we can walk in power and might, because some other brother and sister needs to feel and to hear what God has brought you through. Amen. Boundaries are to protect us from harm, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental and emotional. He wants to protect us. Because at the end of the day, this church needs you strong. This church needs you spirit-filled. Come on, somebody. This church needs you healthy. This church needs you listening to the Lord and responding in a way that, and it wasn't easy to talk about this chapter, but I'm telling you today, God has a season for somebody to have breakthrough in this message. Oh, it's not for me. Well, that's good. Send them to somebody that can receive from it in Jesus' name. And the way that it works is that, have you guys ever heard of an invisible fence? Anybody got an invisible fence? All right, it's pretty cool, pretty sweet. I wouldn't know. But most people, they dig trenches and they put that barrier there, right? You got that whole barrier with the trench, and then you put the dog collar on the dog itself, and then as the dog goes close to the barrier, it starts to beat. The closer it gets, the more that it beats. And the moment it gets too close where you don't want it and you have that barrier, that dog comes running right back. No problem. For you cat people, don't do that because your cat will put that around your neck. They're too clever. But it's the same way with boundaries. It's supposed to protect us. And I have this sneaky suspicion. If we were to get one, I know that my son, who is 5 years old, would probably try that out and put the collar on and make his way towards the boundary and try to see what's all this ruckus about the dogs not going out and getting lost and probably getting stolen again. And I would know myself. I would probably record the whole thing and show it in his wedding when he gets older. But I say all to say that boundaries are for the land of the living. We need you, and we need you strong. We need you healthy. We need you walking in power. We don't need to open up the door for the enemy to come in. Because he'll take every opportunity he can. Takes me to my next point. Can you find discernment in the riot? When fights break out in your mind, in your heart, can you find discernment on where to go, where to move, what to say? Sometimes it's saying nothing. Sometimes it's speaking up. But when you speak up, it's not for confrontation. It's to shed light in darkness. It's to break things. It's to expose things like Paul is doing. We need to find that discernment in the riot. And we read that revival broke out in that community. And Demetrius is operating in the spirit of division. And he's creating this confusion amongst the people, which caused that riot. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there in the first place. They're ready to fight. They don't even know why they're fighting. They're ready to hurt someone. They have no idea why it is. Spiritual discernment is not the ability to distinguish what is bad from what is good. Spiritual discernment really is to discern what is good and what's not good enough for you, his people. That's a good word right there. That's a good word right there. We need to know how to discern the things of God, the power of God, the love of God in situations where chaos breaks out in our lives, where there's riots. Spiritual discernment is discerning the opposing force of God's voice and another voice. Listen to me, church. Who's been telling you to cut yourself? Who's been telling you you can get away with it? Who's been telling you just one time? You need to discern the voice of God and another voice. Maybe that person isn't for you. That job isn't for you. That place isn't for you. We need to discern. Isaiah 11:2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And for the many of you that are on fire for Jesus in this house, learn this in this season that you're in fire. It's the nature of fire to turn off. If a fire is started soon enough without any intervention, that fire will dwindle away and it will become smoke. Fire needs oxygen, fire needs wood, it needs combustible material to keep that fire going. So if you're on fire for Jesus and you don't have a devotional life and you don't pray, smoke is soon to come. It's soon to come. And I want you to take notes on this. Culture is about the smoke. The kingdom is about the fire. The fire is what burns and takes off all this impurity off of us. And it makes us stand before God righteous, knowing, God, I am yours. Do your will in me. And sometimes in this day and age, they see Christians and they take advantage of your kindness, and the enemy will offer you things and say, hey, I want to give you this. This is good. This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I want to give you this. And you check it out and you look at it, you're like, what is it? It looks cute. It's pretty. It's a healing stone. It's to heal you. It's to make you feel good. Your aura. I better behave. Because it's serious business, church, when we talk about power. That rock will not heal you, but the rock of ages will. The cornerstone. The living stone. Come on, somebody. He's still our healer. He's still there for us. His power is still enabling in the church and in many of us who separates themselves into the holiness of God to say, God, is this now? Is this time? Darkness is close. Let me share a word. Let me pray for a brother, a sister. Let me. And you will, because you're preparing yourself for his good work. The safest place for your mind is to be under the word. The safest place for your purpose to be is in the will, in his will. The safest place for your spirit to be is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, stand with me. We are living in Ephesus 2.0. If I can have some prayer warriors up here, ready to pray for those that have been taken advantage of because the enemy sees your kindness and he sees it as weakness. And sometimes we don't know, but now we know. Chapter 19 is interesting. And it's God's power that we can't reject against some counterfeit stuff that's out there that makes you think that it's going to do for you, but it won't. Just like the goddess Diana and Artemis. God's doing something in this house. This is what revival looks like. Pagan worship is an all-time high in this day and age. It really is. Don't compromise with the smoke. Don't compromise. When a riot breaks out in your house, when a riot breaks out in your marriage, when a riot breaks out over your children, over your finances, over your company, come on, somebody. You got to learn how to discern with the voice of God in you. So if you've opened up yourself to some things in life because you only know what you know, God is a merciful God, and God is there just as he was for Ephesus. So much so that Paul had to go back in Ephesians, and he's talking to them about put on your whole armor of God. Not just your shield, not just your sword. Where's your helmet of salvation? Where is your sandals of peace? So let's worship. And if God is calling you, come. Don't reject his power. In Jesus' name.